Hi, welcome back to the Voice Study Break. I'm your host, Jade Sewell.
And I'm Angeline Schmelzer.
Today we are talking about Indigenous Peoples Day, the Zodiac Killer, and how to manage midterm stress. Well, Angeline, it feels good to be back in the studio recording this.
Yes, it does. It seems like we've been gone a little while. We've taken a break from study break.
Yeah, we definitely have taken a break from study break. But you know what? It's good to be back. We had to relearn a little bit of the functionality of our podcasting equipment. But you know what? After significantly less trial and error than our first run through last year, we are back in business.
Yes, we are.
All right, so the first thing on our agenda today is the Zodiac Killer. Now, late last week, Fox News ran an article, which I think kind of prompted all this hullabaloo, that they had finally revealed the identity of the Zodiac Killer. When you heard this, Angeline, what was your initial response last week? Or how did you hear about this, actually?
I actually don't remember how I first heard about it. I think it was just... No, I think it was you. Honestly, I think it was you walking into our meeting and saying they found the identity of the Zodiac Killer. And I was just like, okay, cool. Because I hadn't really followed the progression of that story. I know a lot of people have throughout, you know, decades now. I mean, this the events first happened back, what?
Late 60s.
So, I mean, this has been a developing kind of story since then, and now it's gone through generations.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, if they really think they found the guy.
I guess it's potentially.
Kudos.
So one thing we talked about is the group of people who found this out is an organization of former journalists, law enforcement officers, military intelligence people. Again, all former, no one currently working on the investigation. And then the FBI in San Francisco kind of stated that they're not going to take this seriously, that this is still a cold case. Nothing definitive has come of it. And one of the head officers within the agency said something along the lines of, as soon as I found out what organization had discovered it, I immediately quit reading. They didn't really see it as credible. I don't know, though. Do you think Gary Post is the man who is the Zodiac Killer? And this organization that revealed his identity claims that after researching stuff in his dark room and interviewing neighbors and collecting evidence, that they are sure that this is the man who's the Zodiac Killer. I don't know. Do you think that even if Gary Post was the Zodiac Killer, that the FBI in San Francisco would be okay with acknowledging that?
I also don't know if any kind of agency now is going to be willing to admit that, because then that means that they, quote unquote, failed at it initially and that it took like a different group to figure it out. And it also, like, what justice is there to be served, because Gary Post has now passed away. Mm-hmm. He passed away in like 2018,
yes.
So, like, what justice is there to be served if the man that they think did it, the man that they think is the Zodiac Killer, is now dead?
Mm-hmm. And the majority of his victims at the time were teenagers. And, you know, at this point, it's likely that their parents are dead. Their loved ones, the people who really cared about them, they're either passed away or they're up there in age. And again, like, I don't think that this reveal does anything for the family. It doesn't really bring about closure, mm-hmm. since he's already passed. So I guess at the end of the day, it's more just so for public knowledge. Because in recent years, the Zodiac Killer has become a meme. And I think it kind of was especially launched after the 2016 election with Ted Cruz being the Zodiac Killer. I think that's what this fascination came from. And it's clear, because check Netflix the day after, and Jake Gyllenhaal movies were at the top because he was in Zodiac in like 2007. And Zodiac was trending. It was a trending movie. It's like we have like a morbid fascination with the Zodiac Killer. And honestly, it's more so for pop culture, for the meme. Mm-hmm. At this point, that we want the identity. It's not really our passion for justice. It's really like, who is this man?
Yeah, I almost think the current cultural climate is more willing to accept the identity or wanting to know the identity than even maybe initially. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't alive in the, during the 60s. Late 60s, early 70s when they were probably actively researching this. But, I mean, also now we have kind of the prevalence of all these true crime stories. And
true crime, you know, is huge.
Yeah. Something that really did happen in these in the late 60s, you know, we're fascinated by it because we want answers. And then now there is a potential answer. And is it satisfying?
I don't know.
The questions that we have.
I think the day afterwards and the day of Twitter, I found out through Twitter, through memes, that they found out the identity of the Zodiac Killer. And again, everyone was posting, like looking at everything they could. And one thing I think is interesting, again, I don't know how much this is fabricated, how much of these are real, because they're memes from Twitter. But like his friends allegedly posted to Facebook, like about him, and they used the Zodiac question mark, like after his name, like hearing out with my good friend Gary, the Zodiac. Which is funny. And then also, apparently, Gary Post was pretty active on IMBD and also on some sort of similar platform for music artists. He said that something, he said something disparaging about Ted Bundy because he watched the Ted Bundy film, gave it a 1-star review, said he would review it lower if he could, but was a huge, apparently, a Lady Gaga fan.
Interesting.
Considered her a national treasure like himself. And I quote, this again, either this is a meme or this is legit or someone fabricated a Gary Post account. I can't say, but it is out there on the internet and is just one possibility. So Gary Post might have been a little monster, might have been a Gaga stan, which is kind of wild to think about. One last point I want to talk about is that, yeah, so Gary, the thing that I think is the most significant evidence is that he was arrested for domestic violence, and he had a long history of, like, verbal and physical abuse against his wife. So I think, again, those things tend to manifest themselves in, like, serial killers, like the Zodiac Killer, because if you have a history of violence, it's not just going to disappear overnight.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that considering that that's what he was arrested for, and he got out fairly quickly. I think he just went to jail and kind of got right out. But again, I think those things are, if you do have a history of violence, it'll continue to reappear, and clearly it reappeared in Gary Post's life. Whether or not he is the Zodiac Killer, I'm not sure, but it seems that the internet has run with this. Now, yesterday was Indigenous Peoples Day, or formerly Columbus Day, which I think to this year we saw the most traction for Indigenous people yet, with President Biden signing a proclamation for Indigenous Peoples Day, which he said some pretty powerful things in it. I'm going to pull it up here really quick. It is a measure of our greatness as a nation that we do not seek to bury these shameful episodes of our past, that we face them honestly, we bring them to light, and we do all we can to address them. Today, we also acknowledge the painful history of wrongs and atrocities that many European explorers inflicted on tribal nations and indigenous communities, which I think is really important. Yes, it was a presidential proclamation. And I'm glad to see a president acknowledge this, especially because, again, I think from, like, the time I was in, like, high school, I think that's kind of when I realized, like, Indigenous Peoples Day was a thing. And, like, also, I didn't realize that Columbus was, like, a bad person until high school. And then especially in college, where I read his journals for one of my classes, he literally kidnapped, like, murdered and pillaged countless villages, treated the people horribly, like, subhuman, literally kidnapped people from South America, dragged them back to Spain so they could learn Spanish, and then, like, brought them back so they could be, like, his translator. Like, he treated them like they were nothing. And the horrible, horrible things, even within his own lifetime, he was arrested for, like, his brutality. Like, this man was clearly not a good human being. And I think, so the history behind Columbus Day is that Italian Americans were facing extreme discrimination. So they kind of made up this identity that, why discriminate against us? Because Christopher Columbus, an Italian man, discovered this new world, because again, he didn't really technically discover anything within our current United States of America, but again, he kind of came about because Italian Americans were seeking a way to escape persecution. So in that sense, I can see it, you know, as a day to commemorate Italian American heritage, but at the same time, like, the connotation of this evil man, like, I don't know. Angeline, what do you got to say?
So some people might think of this as rewriting history, but I like to think of it as more of reevaluating history. Mm-hmm. Because, like you just said, you went through, you know, these historical artifacts, and, you know, you can even go through our history books and realize that maybe Christopher Columbus and his people weren't the best. And, I mean, we should still recognize that this is part of our country's history, but maybe not honor it in the ways that we have in the past. And maybe it is time for more the indigenous people's side to take precedent, because they were the ones that, you know, suffered for a really long time and could even, you know, still be suffering in different ways. But
no, I absolutely agree. And I think you are right that I think, again, regardless of whether Columbus Day started as kind of like Italian-American Heritage Day, it was something to kind of commemorate that. We can hold a separate holiday for that. I think, like, leaving this as, like, an Italian-American Heritage Day still puts a poor taste in people's mouths, especially the indigenous community, who, like you said, has suffered so much and who continues to suffer, especially with things like the pipeline, the oil pipeline, and through subpar living conditions on reservations. So I think that this is something that absolutely the indigenous community deserves. I mean, they deserve far more than a day. But but I think that this is completely giving this over to indigenous peoples and kind of removing all connotations of Columbus Day is important. And maybe we can have a separate, we can have some sort of separate national holiday to commemorate Italian American heritage, because there certainly has to be several other Italian Americans throughout history, or at least throughout American history, who are worth commemorating on a day or a day that we can give, or maybe like a week. I'm sure there's Italian American Heritage Month where we can kind of celebrate there and appreciate the hardships that many Italian Americans faced, without detracting from indigenous peoples and Native Americans on this holiday on Monday, October 11th. Midterms are upon us.
Yes, they are. And now it is time for some friendly advice from your neighborhood seniors.
I know, we've lived through it through regular midterms and pandemic midterms. And yes. I feel like this is kind of a mix of both this semester, yeah. Now that we're all mostly back on campus.
I honestly think this is the first semester where I have some sort of midterm in every class.
Which is,
it might not necessarily be titled a midterm, but there is something due in every class within a good 2-3 week period. So,
which is funny, because I'm kind of in the opposite boat, where this is kind of like my first semester where I literally have practically no midterms, or at least a different type of midterm, like we talked about. So what are some of the midterms you're facing? Or do you have straight up exams, essays? What are you looking at?
So I have all of it.
Oh, goodness.
I have a midterm essay in one class. One class, it's more just an assignment that's around this time. And then I actually already took one exam. I took an exam before fall break, which is a little unusual. And then I have two other exams within the next 2 weeks. I have one this week and one next week. How about you?
So I had a midterm evaluation for my novice teaching, which is student teaching basically, but I only go half the day. So that was not really difficult. We just kind of discussed my progress within completing my expectations and within my discipline for teaching. I actually have a course that completes tomorrow, and I have to do an assignment for tomorrow that's half my grade, which I should have done over the weekend, and I didn't. So that's what I'm doing immediately after.
Procrastination.
Yeah, procrastination. So we'll definitely have to give some tips about that. Other than that, I really don't have anything besides a couple of midterm reflections. And then in my independent study on LGBT literature and identity, I do have a midterm essay, but I'm not really like stressed out about that one, because I love the course, you know. And it's so much easier when you love the course. And it's definitely something I've picked for myself, obviously, because it's my independent study. So I'm not too stressed about it.
Yeah. So in addition to this being probably one of the first semester where I have something due in every class, it's also the first semester where I'm not super stressed about midterms, which is very odd for me.
I feel like
I'm a very stressful person.
I think that's also the place that I'm at. I'm honestly not even as stressed as I should be about this thing I have to do tonight.
I'm just like, some of these some of these assignments are worth like a third of my grade. I should be like stressed and studying and stuff, and I'm not. And I don't know if that's the senior in me or just the a lot of these I know the professors mm-hmm. too. So I'm like, okay.
I know how your exam is going to be. It's going to be okay.
That's what I'm also wondering myself. Is this just coming from a place of me being a senior? I'm like, either I want to get over this or like, oh, I've gone through this so many times. Mm-hmm. Or is this just an effect of the pandemic? Where right. like, I don't even think I was too stressed about midterms in the middle of a pandemic.
No, there were other things to be stressed about.
Yeah.
You know, it might come from that. Maybe I'm more stressed about my position here now that I'm editor-in-chief. Maybe that's where most of my
attention,
you know, attention lies. That I just know that schoolwork is gonna take care of itself. You know, I've done my part school wise, mm-hmm. academic wise. That this year, I think it'll be okay. But now let's transition more to the advice. The
tips, yes, yeah. What everyone's here for.
So I would say the biggest thing for me that helps is separate each class. Mm-hmm. If you try to like all of it at once, you're going to break down.
It's too much. Yeah, you can't look at the big picture. You kind of have to take it class by class. Whether that's focusing on the classes that you have the coming up first, so your like first midterms, prep for those, and then go chronologically, or you work from like least to most or most to least. Find a way to work through it mm-hmm. class by class. No, absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. So what I did is I knew that, okay, my one midterm was last week. I had all the studying done before that. Now this week, okay, yeah, I'm reading for this class this day. I take it piece by piece. So I have some of an outline already done. It's due next week on Tuesday. So I know little by little I'll get it done. So Just break it up as much as you can. I mean, you mm-hmm. also have classes during this time. You have organization stuff during this time. So still be involved and do those things, but just try to carve out the appropriate amount of time to each class. You don't want to overdo it, but you don't want to underdo it.
Yeah, I think that's actually important to point out is carve out the appropriate amount of time and also make sure it's a realistic amount of time and a realistic time. Because I know going into this weekend, I was like, I really want to work on this assignment that I've due tomorrow, which is have my grade. And I knew, even going into this weekend, I was like, I know logically that I'm not the type of person who's going to have the self-control to do it this weekend. So I need to consciously like make sure that I'm getting it done on Tuesday. And I need to have X amount of this project done tomorrow. So coming up with a plan, how much am I doing? When am I doing this? Sticking to it and getting that much done and not stopping until it is finished to make sure that you're making progress to your goal. So again, setting up, like you said, setting aside time, making sure it's a realistic amount of time and making sure that you're giving yourself a realistic amount to do within that time.
Mm-hmm. And I would say the last bit is also give yourself time for you. Reward yourself mm-hmm. a little bit, whether that's, you know, just watching a quick 30-minute show on TV, scrolling through social media, or maybe, I mean, if you're in an apartment or house, maybe bake something, cook yourself something nice, or if you're not, I don't know, set aside some time to go to One World, mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever you can, something that you enjoy, something that you like, definitely set some time aside, either during or after midterms are done. Reward yourself, you deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely. Self-care is essential. And generally speaking, during this time of midterms, there are different things, different events hosted by different organizations to help students with self-care, because everybody kind of knows that this is a stressful time. I mean, it's probably second to only finals. So yeah, taking that self-care time, looking at those opportunities, there's so many opportunities for self-care on campus just to be able to relax. Because again, like, mental health is priority. Because again, like, it's okay to be stressed, but you don't want to be overwhelmed and feel defeated heading into midterms. You know, you want to make sure you're in the best headspace possible. So again, like you said, taking care of yourself. Thank you again for tuning into Study Break. We will be back next week with more content. See you then.